Well, everybody's awake now, right? The sign's still up here, so. It was here Wednesday night, by the way. I'd like to share this morning some of the same thoughts, some of the same things that I shared with the youth on the youth trip. I'd like us to think about the mind of Christ. I shared three areas with them, and I plan to use those three areas for three messages. So, youth, there'll be a little bit of overlap, but there'll be quite a bit of stuff that we didn't cover there. I challenged the youth to memorize Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 18, and several of them had over half of that memorized by the time we came home. And I would imagine there may be some that have it memorized totally by now, and I'm thankful for that. I challenge you to memorize that as well. Sherry and I went to a youth retreat before we were married, and that was the assignment there, to memorize that passage. And that has been a passage that has stuck in my mind over the years. So I just want us to think about this scripture this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's all say that together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this morning I want to think about that in relationship to the Father. And the other two areas that I want to think about then in the future is in relation to others and in relation to ourselves. But I want us to think about how the... Probably need to turn that other pulpit mic off, Danny. Is this one picking up okay? Okay. I want us to ask ourselves some questions. If you go to church regularly, if I go to church regularly, read my Bible, and pray regularly, then I'm okay, right? Maybe. It's not a given. What would you say is the goal that we, as those who call ourselves Christians, should have for our lives? The ultimate goal for living here on earth. What would you say that goal would be? To be like Jesus. So, what does that mean, to be like Jesus? That's an easy phrase to put out there. You know, one of those things that just kind of comes. But what does that mean, to be like Jesus?
Have a good witness and a reputation.
Okay, to have a good witness and a reputation.
Have a good relationship with him, so you know what he wants you to do.
Oh, okay. So maybe we need to really get close with him so we know what it means to be like Jesus, right? Instead of us deciding what it means, maybe we ought to let him tell us what it means, right? That's a good thought. This thing's not working the best. How can I have the mind of Christ? He tells us there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How can I have the mind of Christ? Do we need to go to the doctor and Christ needs to come back here and we need to go to the doctor and have a brain transplant? Is that what needs to happen for me to have the mind of Christ? Okay. We've got to spend a little time there getting some connection. If I said that me and Tom were just like this and somebody came up to me and they said, well, what does Tom think about this? I don't know. they'd start wondering if maybe we were like this, more than like this, right? Because to have that close connection means that we begin to understand some things. We begin to get a hold of some things. So how am I going to have the mind of Christ? How's that going to happen in my life? I'm going to have to desire that. I'm going to have to pursue that. And I'm going to have to spend time with Him if that's going to happen, right? What is the importance of close relationship with the Father? Is that important for me as a Christian? Oh, we'd all say, yeah, right away we'd say, yeah. But what is the importance of it? Why do I need to be close to God? Okay, we're hopeless and helpless without Him. But it's also for His character to be imparted into us, right? We need to be close to Him so we become like Him. So that He is able to put within us. And that's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians this morning. He said, I know that through Christ, through your relationship with God, you have a will to do what's right, and you're going to do that. It was through that relationship. What will happen to my relationship with God if I think properly about it? Now, this kind of goes back and forth here, because I ask, first of all, why do we need a close relationship? And then if we have a close relationship, what happens? So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of intertwined here. But what's going to happen to my relationship with God if I am close to Him?
It gives you confidence.
Okay, we gain confidence in that relationship. We gain understanding and appreciation, right? We know how God feels about us and toward us. It's going to give me access to God. I'm not going to be afraid to come into His presence because I'm going to have a relationship with Him. And so these things are important for us. And this all ties into this whole theme for our year of working together as God's people. How does a proper concept of God affect my working together with others? Or does it? Does it matter what my concept of God is, if I'm going to work with you? Why? How?
I see the mercy of God in my life, and it helps me to have mercy with others.
Exactly. As God's character is developed in us, it expresses itself in working together, right? You know, Proverbs says, the reason there's contention is because of pride. Is pride God's character? No. Not at all. And so, you know, we look at this and we begin to wonder. So I want us, this is the definition out of Strong's that is related to the mind, let this mind be in you. And I wanted to point out several things here. He says that this is something that we do earnestly in a certain direction. In other words, it's not just something, let this mind be in you, so I'm laying here, let it happen. No. It's, I am earnestly pursuing that as a direction in my life. I'm desiring that. And he says that intensively, to interest oneself in, with concern or obedience. Notice in the King James, the different words that are used, and he says, be like-minded, be of the same mind, be of one mind, let this mind, that's all this same thing, let this mind be in you. So when Christ's mind comes into us, then we become like-minded, don't we? The more we become like Christ, the more we become like-minded. The more we're of the same mind. So it's kind of an interesting word and a thought here. Now, I want us to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, where most of the scriptures that we're looking at here this morning are from the book of John. I'd like you to turn to these scriptures and read them with me. I'll read the first one here that's out of Matthew while you're turning to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now I want you, as we look at these scriptures, I want you to get a feel for what's happening here. I want you to think about how Jesus thought about his Father. How did Jesus think about God the Father? That's what we want to catch from these. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And then verse 20 of that same chapter. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When you hear those verses, what kind of a picture do you get of Jesus and the Father? Very close, right? They are super connected. There is a constant communication there, right? There's that continuous communication. Now, I've also said here, and I thought this was rather interesting as this thought came to my mind. Constant communication is the ultimate act of worship. You think about that a little bit. You know, it's one thing for me to come and get goosebumps up and down my back on a Sunday morning or another time when God's people gather together. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing that at all. But don't think that because you've done that this morning or at any other time, that you're in tune with God and worshiping Him like He desires. He wants constant communication with us. And that constant communication then is the ultimate act of worship. Now, if I am going to have the mind of Christ and live the mind of Christ, what is it going to take? A half hour on a Sunday morning listening to a sermon? Or a half hour or an hour of worship time where, you know, we get all intense with God? Is that what it's going to take? Those things, again, I'm not criticizing those things. They are important. We need to come together as God's people and worship. But unless we are having worship in our heart toward God each day, communication with God, learning the mind of Christ and becoming like Christ, we're not worshiping the way God wants us to worship. See, it's not about something that I do at a certain time. It's about something I am. It's about something that's happening in my life. Let this mind be in you. It's something that's just continuous. It's not let this mind come to you. It's let this mind be in you. So Jesus is, through the Apostle Paul, is giving us this instruction. And he's giving it to us also by his example while he was here on earth. Constantly in tune with the Father. You read through the miracles and you read through his teaching, and over and over and over and over again, you hear him saying, Father, 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 Father. He's in constant communication with his Father. And he says, I couldn't do this if it was not for my Father. Okay, secondly, glorifying the Father in all things is a result of communion. Okay? Now let's look at these verses. Again, I want you to catch what's going on here. John chapter 5, verses 20 to 23. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. That's that communication, right? That communion. The Father loves the Son. He's showing him everything. Did Jesus understand the mind of the Father? Absolutely. Hebrews says he was the express image of his person. If you saw Christ, you saw God the Father. There was no difference. His mind was just exactly the mind of his Father. But look what he says then also. He will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And then 13:31-32. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He's talking, the context there is the feet washing service when Judas left. And Jesus says, God is glorified in me. He's exalted in me. He's receiving glory from me through my death. John 14:13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then 17:1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. What do you hear in those verses? What is the mind of Christ toward the Father? What do you hear? His desire is to see his Father glorified. That's what our theme was the other year. Make God's name great. Glorify him. And that is the mind of Christ. And so one of the things we need to learn to do is to glorify the Father. That's having the mind of Christ. I remember my dad at one point, something was brought to his attention that he had done that wasn't a big deal, but it was something that mattered to him. And I remember him getting tears in his eyes and saying, I hope that I did not make, I'm paraphrasing here, but I hope that I did not make God look bad. I thought, now that's the mind of Christ. Do I ever think about that? Did that enter my mind? How is this going to make God look? Is it about me? Is it about my stuff? Sheldon. Is it about what I'm doing, or is it about what God is doing in me and how this affects the name of God, the worship of God in others' lives? I want us to look real quickly here, and last of all, at Jesus doing the will of the Father. I think in these three ways, the mind of Christ needs to become part of our lives. We need to think seriously about constant communication with God. We need to think seriously about glorifying God. And we need to think seriously about doing His will. Doing His will is not a checklist. We're not here saying, oh, I did this. Doing the will of God comes as a result of communication with God and a desire to see Him glorified. Okay? Does that make sense? Think about it. Mark chapter 14, verse 36, He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto You. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. Luke 22, 42. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. John 5, verse 30. Again, listen to these and see what you're hearing about the mind of Christ and doing the will of God. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now, how many of us could honestly say that and mean it? Most of what we do is, I can do this myself, and then we run into trouble and we're like our little kids. I can do this myself. And then they can't get it done and they start crying and they say, help me. That's how we do with God too. Jesus said, I of my own self, I can do nothing. This is Jesus. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, as I get the mind of God, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John 6, 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So what he's saying is, when we partake in communion, we're expressing that we are living in Christ, that we are eating Him. And he's saying, that should be that we're living by Him, that we are saying that we are seeking the mind of Christ. That's part of our expression of what we're saying in communion. Then John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as My Father hath taught Me, I speak those things. He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone. I do always those things that please Him. Huh. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. John 8, 49. I honor My Father. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I honor My Father. That's Jesus' expression, His testimony about Himself. John 14, 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave Me commandment, even so I do. Hebrews 10, verse 9. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. What do you hear in those verses? What do you hear about the mind of Christ? Okay, He's committed to His Father. It's not what I want to do, it's what He wants Me to do. Now you say, well, yeah, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this. Let me put you to a test, okay? You say, I do God's will. In Thessalonians, where we were studying our Sunday school, there's a verse there that says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you do the will of God? You know why? You know why we struggle? Here's the deal. We struggle with this whole thing of being like Christ because we think it's something we can do. It's not something we can do. We have to have His mind in us. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that mind has to become His mind. Then we're able to communicate with the Father. Then we're able to do the will of God. Then we're able to glorify God. And it's a growing experience. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because you feel like you're not doing it like you desire doesn't mean that you're zero, that you're nowhere. It's a growing process that continues through life. But I want us to think about this. How do I have the mind of Christ? How do I get, how do I let this mind be in me, the mind of Christ, so that I communicate constantly with my Father, so that I seek only to glorify Him, so that I seek only to do His will? And that's a challenge for us. It's a challenge. It's not something that just falls into place. You notice in the definition, it says it has to be an intense interest. It has to be something. You remember Jeremiah said, in the day that you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's how it works with the mind of Christ. If that's what I really, really, really want, I can have it. But if I want my mind, my mind's okay too, but I like to have some of the mind of Christ when I need it, but the rest of the time my mind's just fine, right? No. When we approach it with that kind of an attitude, we don't have it. We just don't have it. Sorry. Let this mind be in you. And when that happens, we're able to work together at a whole new level. We're able to accomplish things. You notice what Jesus said? He said, my Father is able to give life, to quicken, to raise people from the dead. I'm able to do that through Him. And He said, you're going to do greater things than these when you walk with the Father, when you have my mind. So there's things that God is looking for in us. He's desiring to give to us. He's desiring to see fulfilled in us. But it comes as we seek and we desire and we pursue the mind of Christ. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You that You have given Your Son to live here on earth, to show us, to make it so clear and plain and understandable what it means to have Your mind. And so today, Lord, we're challenged from Your Word and by Your Spirit that we let the mind of Christ be in us. Your mind, shared through Him, so that we become like Him and like You. And Lord, I just pray that as we go from this place, that You work in our hearts by Your Spirit, that we learn from You, that we take Your yoke upon us, so that we might find rest to our souls. And I pray, Father, that You just continue to work in each of our hearts for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.